If you asked me at the beginning of the season how worried I was about traveling to Foxborough, I would have said, like a 5 or a 6. I really respect Vrabel as a head coach. Drake May is an ascending player. Got a couple of nice pieces. What I would have not said is that Vrabel looks like the coach of the year and Drake May is in the MVP conversation. But yet, after the Falcons get drubbed 34-10 at home versus Miami, that's the treat that they get. That's their reward. We'll be hopping on a plane, and you can hear it all on 92.9 The Game, starting with the Wade Ford tailgate show on Sunday. To break that all down, one of our favorites, Christopher Price, Boston Globe, and the Believe Network, covering not just the Patriots, but the entire league as well. Christopher, let's start there. Just how surprised are you that Vrabel was able to get things to the point where they are right now so quickly?
I think everyone is surprised. I had them, and I think we even talked about this before the start of the year. I had them for 7 wins, and they're way ahead of that. Look, part of it, not going to lie, part of it is an easier than usual schedule. They have one of the easiest schedules by metric. Talking to my friend Aaron Schatz from used to run Football Outsiders, using DVOA, they have what could be one of the easiest schedules in the history of the National Football League since 1978. So let's start with that basic premise. But May has emerged. The two biggest questions about this team from a positional standpoint, offensive line and wide receiver, have been answered unequivocally over the start of the year. And look, you look at Myles Garrett's 5 sacks last week, set that aside. The offensive line has done very well over the course of the first 8 games. The wide receiver group has performed, has outperformed expectations. Stephon Diggs has looked very good coming off the ACL. You have some other guys in that room who've been good complementary pieces, like Kayshon Booty, Pop Douglas, Mac Hollins. So they got it all working, and the defense has limited every single running back that they've faced this year to 50 yards or less, or 49 yards or less. So that's the big milestone that they're talking about here in New England when it comes to the run defense. No opposing running back has broken the 50-yard milestone. So look, it's all coming together for them, and I think it's ahead of schedule, at least partially because of the quarterback play and the easier-than-usual schedule.
Well, Falcons rushed for 40 yards last week against the Dolphins, so that tracks really well for that to continue for the Patriots. Drake May's ascension, obviously we saw the talent coming out of college, but did you think he'd be where he is this quickly?
I thought he would be in this neighborhood if they put guys around him who could create a positive infrastructure on the offensive side of the ball. Last year, he didn't have any of that. The offensive line was lousy. He didn't have many skill position options around him. And the coaching staff, really, for my money, didn't know how to properly maximize his strengths. They have all of that now. And so I think he's where people expected he would be at this stage of his career. If you give a young quarterback the options, if you give a young quarterback a sturdy, steady, consistent offensive line, and guys like Stephon Diggs, and, a running game with rookie Trevion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson and dependable guys, tight end like Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry, this is what you're going to get. This is what the Patriots were lacking last year. They had the quarterback. They just didn't have all the pieces around him. Now they have the quarterback. They have the pieces. And I think you see that manifested in the wins and losses over the course of the season.
How much of a big brother does Buffalo still look like? Or is the feeling there at this point that, hey, we could take this division?
There's very much of a feeling that they could take this division based on what we saw when they went up to Buffalo in prime time earlier this year. Look, I'm under no illusions that Buffalo is going to kind of shrivel up and die. But I think at the same time, the onus is on the Bills. The pressure is on the Bills because the Patriots are in first place. They still have a game up here in Foxborough later in the season. So Buffalo's going to have to come to New England and win. And, in the past, that's been easy. But in the past, they haven't had, this sort of talent on either side of the ball over the last few years. So there is a growing belief here in New England that New England can win this division. They need a lot of things to continue for them, though, moving forward. They've been very healthy when it comes to they've been very lucky when it comes to staying healthy, I should say. They lost Antonio Gibson for the year with a knee issue. Christian Gonzalez missed the first 3 games of the season because of a hamstring. But other than that, they've been completely injury-free. And, you know, they haven't had a lot of main games missed because of health issues. They've gotten some surprising performances out of some guys, like I said before, at the wide receiver position, the offensive line position, that they, you know, I don't think they completely anticipated. So they need to keep it all moving forward in that direction. But so far, I think there's a belief that they can be right there with the Bills at the end when you're talking about the division.
Looking around the rest of the league as we're talking with our buddy Christopher Price, make sure you check him out at the Boston Globe as well as on the Believe Podcast Network. When it comes to two teams that we figured could be back in this thing, it looks like they're getting back on track at the right time, Philly and Kansas City. Are you surprised by either of those teams that they got it back so quickly, or do you still feel like those are two of the best teams in the NFL?
They're still two of the best teams in the NFL, especially with the Chiefs. I'm not buying that whole, you know, laying low, we're struggling kind of a thing. We saw this, and look, from a New England perspective, we saw this plenty from like 2012 to 2013 or 14, where you had a quarterback making chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, basically, on the offensive side of the ball. Brady was able to kind of lift the team, but they weren't able to kind of get over the hump right now. Patrick Mahomes is in that phase of his career where he is being asked to, you know, basically put the entire franchise on his back and get them into the playoffs. He's good enough to get this. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Look, they're going to win like seven in a row. They're going to sneak into the playoffs, and all of a sudden we're going to see them in the AFC Championship game again. So particularly when you talk about Kansas City, I think that they're going to be right there at the end because they've earned that right, frankly, you know, with their success over the last decade or so. The Eagles, I'm not surprised at all. You know, the way that team is built, Howie Rose, how he's just put together a phenomenal roster, and the way that he operates and the way that franchise operates, the floor for both of those teams is a conference championship game still, even with the struggles that they've had at this point in the season.
Speaking of putting a team on your back, can Lamar's return get them into the playoff picture again?
I don't know if it can get them into the playoff picture, but it can make them awful feisty down the stretch and ruin a couple of teams, you know, playoff chances. There's too much talent there. There's too much steadiness. There's too much consistency in Baltimore to see him fall off like this. I think that they're going to be competitive. I don't think it's going to be enough maybe ultimately to get them into the postseason. But again, I think that they're going to be a pain in the ass for teams to play against come November and December. And if that's, you know, that should be enough to kind of, you know, whet their appetite for maybe bigger and better things down the road in 2026.
The Cleveland Browns played the Patriots last week. Did you see anything from Dillon Gabriel? Should the Browns consider Shadur at this point? What do you think they should do?
I was standing at the entrance to the field where the visiting teams enter and exit. And after the game, Stefanski was walking off the field, and you had Cleveland Browns fans there pleading with him, screaming at him that he needs to start Shadur Sanders, that he has to start Shadur Sanders, that it's the only way that he can keep his job and the only way that, the only chance that the Browns have of turning things around this year. So I think they'd be crazy not to at least give him a shot. Look, I didn't see anything from Dillon Gabriel. Dillon Gabriel, to me, looks like the kind of guy who's going to end up being a career backup in the National Football League. Now, that's not a character flaw, but it just is what it is. There really was very little there to suggest that he is going to be able to grow into an every down NFL quarterback. A Patriots executive sidled up to me at the end of the game when we were watching these guys come off the field. He said, Dillon Gabriel's not an NFL quarterback at this stage of his career. And so I guess if you're asking me if they should go to Shadur, I'm saying yes.
Yeah, it would certainly quell the fan base at least a little bit because they're going crazy in Cleveland right now. Another fan base that's going crazy, rightfully so. I was as wrong on this about anybody. I did not think Bo Nix was an NFL quarterback. He's proving everybody wrong on a week-in, week-out basis. What level of contender can the Broncos be?
I think the Broncos right now fall into that category that is also inhabited by the Colts and the Patriots, where everyone, I think, is a little taken aback at their level of success, but I don't know if anyone is really ready to push all their chips to the middle of the table and say, look, Denver's going to be in the Super Bowl. Indy's going to be in the Super Bowl. New England's going to be in the Super Bowl. I like what Denver has done. I like the progression. I love having Sean Payton, big game head coach there. He knows how to get a team from here to here when it comes to the development. I'm just not ready, again, with all of those teams, with those three teams. I think those three teams are very, very similar in their development, in their, you know, their team-building approach, and the fact that each one of them kind of have their own MVP. I just don't know if any one of those three is going to be there, you know, at the end. Although I will say this, The Broncos throwback uniforms they wore this past weekend, just absolute perfection as far as I'm concerned.
And equally atrocious were the Steelers uniforms as they got yes. their butts beaten yes. by the Packers. Okay, before I let you go, you know, this one hits a little personal to me because I did grow up in New York City before moving here to Atlanta, but Nick Mangold passes away at the age of 41. For those who aren't familiar, he was an all-pro center for the Jets for over a decade. He died of kidney disease, tragically. As somebody who covered all those Jets and Patriots games, what did you think about the passing of Nick Mangold?
I just remembered Richard Seymour talking about Nick Mangold in a way that he talked about very few opponents over the course of his career here in New England. Those Jets teams, and I think you hit it on the nail, you hit the nail on the head there when you're talking about those Jets teams of 2010, 2011, 2012, those early Rex teams that got to the, you know, the AFC Championship game and were just a handful for everyone to think about. Mangold was the very personification of those teams, just tough, steady, consistent, smart, physical, just checked all the boxes, everything you wanted in a football player. It was Nick Mangold. And again, when you talk to the Patriots, specifically the Patriots defensive line, they would go on and on about the greatness of a guy like Nick Mangold. In the NFL world is a lesser place today because he is not in it anymore.
Appreciate it, Christopher. Well said, and I appreciate the time as always. We'll chat soon.
My pleasure, Chris. Take care.
All right. That is Christopher Price, Boston Globe and the Believe Network, covering the entire NFL, but he is based out of Boston, so perfect time to get him on to preview Falcons and Patriots. Hey, just want to let you know, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Back to the phones when we get back with you. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first. If not, grab a line. And if you can't, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. I say the biggest thing plaguing the Falcons right now is their lack of ability to adjust on offense. And that's on Raheem, that's on Zach, that's on all the offensive coaches. But what do you think? What is the biggest thing plaguing the Falcons right now? Your calls are next, 404-726-0929.